Good morning, Arizona homeowners and gardeners. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, the Garden Hour, here 8 to 9 on our Daddy-O, Big Daddy-O, Father's Day edition of Rosie on the House. Good morning. We've got a special guest, Bill Jenkins from Think Green Irrigation and Landscaping here. Join us. We want to talk a little bit about lighting. We've got Stan Zambrunnen from Rosie on the House Remodeling. Stan, thanks for joining us here this morning.
Good morning, sir. My pleasure.
Got Miss Nancy on the phones. Jennifer's out and about checking out Julia's new house in Minneapolis. So I just figured something out.
Uh-oh. What did you?
On Father's Day? I'll be home alone with my dogs.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
How's that going to work out for you?
Well, hey, I got to defend myself a little bit. We are doing a party today.
Oh.
Yeah, we
home alone.
We generally
sounds good, doesn't it?
Make our own schedules for parties at the Romero's house. We don't do anything on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it's too hard to get something done on a Thursday. We just wait till Saturday.
There you go.
Yeah, we move holidays around all the time.
It is a Saturday morning, and guess what? We survived the fearful, dreaded, full red harvest Friday the 13th solar flare moon. So I don't know about y'all, but we got out, we finished eating dinner right as the sun was coming up, because from our kitchen table, I looked at Amanda. I said, look at the moon. It was just coming up, and it was red. And we went out there, and we stayed out there till probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock. Remy got a second charge, and he was running all over the lawn. He wanted to play. He wanted to run around. And you know what? It was because there was light. And that's our topic today.
It was beautiful.
Lighting the outdoors. And as the heat continues, that's probably the majority of the time we're going to be outside is after the sun goes down and the moon's coming up.
Yes. Not nice to be out at 5 or 6, but try 8:30 or 9 o'clock. It's a whole different ballgame.
And with us today is Bill Jenkins of Think Green Irrigation and Landscaping. We're going to talk a little bit exterior lighting, but we're also going to talk about whatever you, the Arizona landscaping gardener, wants to talk about. Jim from Tucson's already on the line with a question on his peach trees, and we've got available lines at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.
Well, good morning. Are we going to take the call?
No, not yet. Okay. No, we're going to talk about lighting first.
Oh, well, yes. I am passionate about low-voltage lighting, about lighting the landscape. It is just an effect. It's something, if I only did one thing, that'd be what I would do. You can get so much out of just a little bit of light properly placed in the landscape. Trees, for instance, just putting a little bit of light on trees out in the distance in your landscape draws your eye out and makes your yard feel so much bigger. And you talked about moonlight. That's an effect we'd love to do. Get up in a tree, put fixtures up high in a tree, get that soft light coming out of the tree, throwing shadows on the ground, a little wind, maybe the fixtures move a little bit, the shadows dance. That's a really neat natural-looking effect. And then a little area lighting, just path lighting, just getting that same level of illumination on the path lights, on the paths and on the walkways, lets you navigate around your yard at night. It's really just a fascinating way of improving your landscape and letting you use it for the other half of the time you can. I mean, get out there at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. The temps are dropping a little bit. The lights come on. It's a whole different picture. Very magical.
I know. When I was building my home, my electrician said, I don't get the point of night lighting. He said, why spend money to light something at night when you're not out there? I said, well, I'm out there, man.
It paints a picture.
I'm out there.
Right. And I mean, if you enjoy your yard, even just the picture window, looking out the window at your landscape, I get such a kick out of seeing my trees lit in the distance as I walk through the Arizona room, maybe in the kitchen, getting a drink of water in the middle of the night. You look out, see all the trees lit. It's beautiful.
And with the development of LEDs and different types, we're not talking about having a halogen spotlight, prison lit.
No, metal halide. No, this is soft, artistic, magical lighting. This is just drawing your eye to focal points. This is adding just that little touch of area lighting you might need to navigate around without it being harsh. Harsh glare, those are bad things, and we avoid them when we design a landscape lighting system. Really, just yes, the idea is to give yourself path lighting, area lighting, and then draw your eye to focal points. You want to have the ability to navigate around your landscape, or as they call it, walk by, and then like to talk by. Areas that are illuminated where you can have a little bit of an intimate feel, having a little bit of light coming out of a tree with maybe a sitting area. It creates ambiance.
I've heard the term glare bomb.
Oh, yes.
We did a lot of those for a lot of years, didn't we? Just the big hooded
par 38 lamp.
Par 38
patio,
lamp.
Right.
Boom.
Most popular light fixture in America. Right.
First time it rained, there goes the bulb.
Gosh, it gets so hot, and then that little bit of raindrop explodes the bulb. But if that's what our listeners are picturing when we're talking landscape lighting, they're picturing the wrong thing.
Right.
We're talking about duplicating the effect of the moonlight at night. Now, I want to try that again. I did that heavy in my mesquites in the front yard, but that was with the halogen light bulb system. And it seemed like with the monsoons and the wind and the bulbs burning out every year and a half, every month, but they would last a year and a half. I'm gonna try it again with the LEDs.
It's not much fun to get up on a ladder and be up there 20, 30 feet in the air, changing a lamp. You drop the screw. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. The higher the bulb was,
more likely it was going to burn out.
And the more likely it was to burn out, the more likely it was susceptible to the wind up there.
True.
But also, the higher up, the more effect it gave me because it was picking up more of the branches and casting that branch shadow on the front walk is what I really liked, but I'm ready to try it again. I gave up and I just went to the pendant lights, but now with LED, I'm ready to try that moonbeam. What do you call moonbeam lighting?
Oh,
what
just moonlighting. I like
moonlighting.
To say.
I love it.
The new LED lamps that we have these lamps that are giving us 50,000 hours of lamp life. That could be a decade plus. You know, 15, possibly even 20 years if you're not running it a lot at night.
Yeah, you have to be careful because when you put it in a tree, that tree is going to have that fixture now for 15 years.
There's a little bit of maintenance, exactly. How the wires run, the connections are made, how the fixture's anchored. And it's going to take a little bit of maintenance over the years, but it's minimal, and I think it's worth it for the effect.
Don't stretch that line too tight.
Oh, no.
and be careful when you're trimming.
Yes, that's true. So all that's just part of the logistics of planning. But a little bit of planning, a little bit of care goes into it. It's worth the effort and the expense for the effect.
Now, how hard is it to move? I mean, that's one of the great things about it is if you don't like it or the tree grows and matures, mm-hmm. it's not that hard to adjust the lighting as your landscape matures.
It's trims. Low voltage, so we can make connections up above ground, waterproof connections. We have little connectors we like that are almost hermetically sealed. So it's not that difficult to rearrange things as the tree matures. Maybe you want to get them up a little higher in the tree, get a little bit more, as Rosie was saying, a little more of an effect, get a wider effect at the base of the tree. So it's not that hard to move these things around. And even in the landscape, on the ground, same thing. If you have a plant that matures, maybe you want to pull that fixture away a little bit, get a little bit more of a shadow on a wall or something. As the landscape matures, you can make changes to the lighting system. It's not that difficult.
Now, we send people to the botanical gardens a lot to go get an idea of the variety of, you know, what you can plant in the
Excellent
desert
idea.
And what grows here. Where do you send them for nightscaping? Taliesin West, or the Bill Jenkins residence?
The street that I live on. I was going to say that.
Bill, just give me your address.
There we go. Boy, you can find that. Yeah, we will showcase a few of the projects that we've done. We have permission from some of our very nice clients that we'll let someone drive by and take a look at things. But even just online, there's some great references. Some of the lighting manufacturers have gone to great lengths to take really good photography of some of the effects that you can create. And you can get a good example there.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. As you hear us take a call, that's your opportunity to ring in. We're going to start this morning in Tucson. Jim, listening on KNST. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hey, I've got a peach tree that produces delicious, beautiful, big peaches, but something's getting in there and eating them, and I've got that entire tree shrouded with netting, and the netting goes all the way to the ground, and I've put a berm around the bottom of it where the netting actually spreads out, and there is absolutely no way I can see that anything can get in there, and nothing is getting, and whatever it is that's getting in there is also getting out, because I can't see anything there. The only creature I've been able to see in there are these tiny, tiny ants. Have you any idea what's getting to my peaches?
That's a tough one, because I've shared a similar experience. I never forget the dangerous peach tree in the yard. It was in its cage that we'd created around it, because it looked like it was in prison, because we'd put a cage around it to try and keep things away from it. I've had similar trouble with the exact same thing in my own yard, so I really can't say. Obviously, we've got some sort of an animal getting through that netting. Obviously, look at the base and see if there's something loose somewhere. But
and you think it's an animal over an insect?
I would bet it's a bird. I would bet it's a bird getting in there. Yeah, we would find that even after we built that netted cage all over the tree, literally, 12 feet high, a cage, and there'd be a bird in there. So how did you get in there? So that's probably what it is.
And the good news is, you hear Jay Harper say it a lot, generally speaking, by the time it's matured and it all comes into bloom, that tree is going to produce more peaches than you're going to have time to eat. Right. So if the bird gets 10%, 50%,
make a couple happy birds, you'll get plenty of peaches, right? We hope.
Right. And something else that I use, if it is an insect or something, and I use it on my orchard at home. In fact, I got home last night, and I was walking around as we were doing the chores, and my mulberry tree, I had noticed it just within the last day, it got attacked. The whole north side of it, I mean, it's a young tree. It's only 2 years old, so we're not talking huge, but it just eaten something. You could see all the bites. I don't know if caterpillars or whatever, but probably. We started using that Captain Jack's dead bug brew, and it comes with an attachment that you screw on the end of the hose. So you just plug it in, and it's great because it's got a stream that hits on top of that mulberry tree, so you don't have to worry about getting up there. And the great thing about it is it kills on contact, but it'll stay there. And when things come back and eat it, it'll kill it then as well. So I'm hoping to get home this afternoon and find like caterpillar carcasses on my
all over the ground
from using this Captain Jack's dead bug brew by Bonite. And Kim was listening last week and heard about it and said, I'm a new chicken farmer as well. Can I use this application? And if the chickens get it, will it hurt the egg produce?
It's a good question.
It's a great question. And I emailed Jim Wood, and he sent it to the R&D department. They wrote back and they said, this organic Captain Jack's dead bug brew, the toxicity is so low, we don't even have an EPA warning on it.
Oh my.
It's that low. And they said, it you could put it on your fruit, your vegetables, your tomatoes, whatever. And it won't harm you. And on the label, you can go through it, too. If you're using it for your garden, it'll tell you how many days in between applying it to asparagus. It'll tell you how many days in between your lettuce and on your trees and everything. So it's a great application, but it doesn't just come in a liquid. It's also a dust concentrate. They've got a ready-to-use and then the built-in spray applicator, like I'd mentioned. You can find it all over the state, including Treeland Nurseries in Mesa, Summer Winds in Phoenix, and Harlow Garden in Tucson.